Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
You want iOS 12? You can get it right now with some apps.
Ah, I want it right now. Let's get it. Also, I'll show you how to snoop on your neighbors or your friends.
And my app cap will be in space.
In space! It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by 23andMe. Now through Father's Day, get 30% off each 23andMe DNA kit. Go to 23andMe.com/twit today. iOS Today time. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
This is the show where we talk about iOS, iPad, and even though Apple calls it TVOS, TV, Apple Watch, even though they call it WatchOS, mm-hmm. and the iPhone, all of those four devices, everything you'd ever want to know. Last week we talked about Apple's announcements about iOS 12 coming soon. Well, this September, probably. They didn't say exact date, but I think usually September to an iPad and iPhone near you. I signed up for the public beta, still don't have that, but we've got a way for you to get many of the fine features of iOS 12 right now.
Right now. Because a lot of people notice that when they made announcements, they say, well, there's an app that does that, and there's an app that does that. And
they Sherlocked everybody.
They did.
That's the phrase that you know that, but I'll explain it because there used to be a file searching application really great for Macintosh called Sherlock. And then Apple announces Spotlight, which basically is the exact same feature set as Sherlock, and Sherlock was gone, was history. And so ever since, and it seems to happen almost every Apple keynote, Apple announced something that, and they Sherlocked an existing program. They Sherlocked a bunch of measurement programs.
They did. Should we start with the measurement?
Sure.
Okay. So yeah, they showed this AR measurement and they, you can do it. And maybe it'll be better because there's lots of them, but the one that I've been using is called MeasureKit AR.
It uses AR Kit. So it's the same exact functionality that Apple was touting.
And so I'm scanning the world, tap to start measuring.
So you can measure the distance from that part of the table to that part of the table.
Yeah, I think I have to hold it.
No, you point it? Don't you move the screen?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, maybe not.
Right? You're right.
There you go. Hey, look, by the way, a number of people tweeted that the Apple Measure app, which they tried after the event, wasn't that accurate.
Oh, people.
It kind of implies that, it's going to be super accurate using the magic of augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
No. And Philip Elmer DeWitt, who was in the audience during the event, he was on Twitter on Sunday. He said, people were scratching their heads in the audience. Some people were even upset. It's like, why is Apple spending minutes of precious keynote time on such a, kind of nothing program?
Well, and then except for John over there was getting really excited about it. So it depends on what you do, right? Like
he measures stuff a lot.
Yeah.
But he could use MeasureKit.
Right.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. He could.
If that's what you're craving.
MeasureKit also will let you measure how tall someone is. They do that. And they have the, I think we've shown this before, the face mesh, which is really fun to play with. Hello.
It uses the front-facing camera to show the depth sensor is seeing.
What my face is doing. Yeah. Or, you can actually see my face there. There's my face data. You can see I blink left, I look down left. So this is really useful.
This has got much more going on than the Measure app that Apple's crack staff probably spent a day writing. It's not clear why Apple decided that they wanted to highlight that. It's not that these aren't features that have been around for a year in ARKit. It's not that there aren't already apps doing that and more. It's just baffling. I don't understand it. But anyway, now you can do it. You know what I would love to be able to do, though? I want those Memojis.
Well, I haven't figured out a way to get Memojis, but Bitmoji is pretty close.
It's pretty close.
And if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I updated my Bitmoji over the weekend because I noticed that my nose was a little small and I have a prominent nose. I mean,
we both do. We could call this the Schnoz show.
Yeah, we could.
This weekend Schnozes.
We should. I mean, because they're not called iOS, there's Mac OS, Schnoz OS today.
Schnoz OS.
So Bitmoji, let's show the Bitmoji app. Bitmoji isn't going to be animated, but it's just as good, I think. Now, Bitmoji's owned by Snapchat. So let me find...
It wasn't originally, but Snapchat did something similar and they decided to buy Bitmoji, which I thought was a wise choice.
I actually have the Bitmoji keyboard on my iPhone because I use it so
Do you really?
Often.
Now,
yes.
Unlike Apple's Memoji, which doesn't use a picture of you but lets you start from scratch with a head, like Mr. Potato Head, and then glue stuff on, Bitmoji will do that, but it also will start with a picture if you want. Do you find that the picture Bitmoji is more accurate or less accurate?
I think that the picture, I don't know. I mean, it depends. It's like...
He sent me a Memoji.
I did. I said, take a look at his.
You're
I just
cute.
Sent him.
Yeah. It says you're cute. And that kind of looks like you.
Me.
You got the nose down.
The nose, the eyes, the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it looks like you.
So...
That looks more like you, the picture.
Well, that's because it's a photo.
Yeah. So that's my question.
Well, what do you think? Okay, let me... Here's how I could change. What do you think I should change to make it look more like me? The hairstyle? The hair treatment?
I don't know.
The eye shape? Like, is that what my eyes are shaped like? I don't know.
My Bitmoji doesn't look that much like me either. I mean, I have a Bitmoji as well. Everybody who has Snapchat probably at some point creates a Bitmoji.
Yeah,
right?
And the best thing about Snapchat, your Bitmojis can interact with one another if you're snapping. So.
Can they talk to each other?
Well, no, they just get, you know, they're all in different scenes, right? Like,
does this look like me? I think that looks kind of like me. It's got gray hair and glasses.
I would round out the face a bit if I
would. You?
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not.
Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah. That
Don't you love that?
Like you. And you do like to wear shorts.
And I like to wear shorts and flip-flops, as everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Everyone who sees me.
Mm-hmm. But you usually wear socks. White socks.
White socks sneakers. With my, yeah.
With your Air. What are those shoes called that you like to wear? The Airedales?
Airedales. Yeah, I wear my Airedales. No.
What are they called?
Allbirds.
Allbirds. Sorry.
So the nice thing about Bitmoji is it comes, and everybody who's done it so far, including Samsung, has done this. It comes canned with a bunch of stamps, right, that let you do, I don't know why it's taken so long to load my Bitmoji. I guess I haven't used them. There's a lot of new ones. I mean, look at this one with a coffee maker and a mug.
Mm-hmm. There's tons. I mean, every emotion or thought you could ever have is...
Should we try a new app?
Do you have a new app?
Yeah, it's called Emoji Me.
Oh.
Lisa showed me this.
Emoji
Me. So should I choose a starting face? I think I look a little more like that than that other one. This is where you change your face and skin tone. Now, you could do a photo of a person you're making if you want. You can change the hair. You can see more options. You can change. It's got a lot of colors. All the colors of the rainbow. Eye shapes. I think it's pretty complete. Now, what this doesn't really do is, I'll save it, doesn't do the thing that Apple's really going to do that's going to be cool. It just makes a, you know, a character and like that.
Oh, and you can turn your eyes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Should we, I asked people to send me their Memojis if they had already.
Yeah, I can't wait because that's what I'm waiting to do.
So, do you want to see one that we got from...
People have it already?
Yeah. If you're running the beta, if you're a developer and you have a device that you trust. So, Carl Elsden, we follow each other on Twitter. He sent me this. Are you ready? There's going to be audio, too. So, are you ready to hear? This is his...
Oh, that looks cute.
...emoji.
Hello, Megan. This is me. I thought I'd make up a little emoji of myself. I don't often wear this kind of hat, but it looks quite cool. Okay. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You know what's cool? He did a great fake English accent.
He's from London, so oh. I'm guessing it's not. The only thing fake is the hat, but he admitted it.
I think that's so much better than Bitmoji or anything else.
Here's what Carl looks like.
Because it matches your face.
That's what you can't really see, but there's what he looks. So it looks just like
him. That's close. The thing is, it's not supposed to be too close. It's supposed to avoid this whole uncanny valley thing by looking like a cartoon version of you. Mm-hmm. But you've seen people like Serenity Caldwell... And Renee Ritchie, both of whom, of course, are running iOS 12. Mm-hmm. Serenity on her Instagram, I'll go get it in a second here, showed us what it looks like when you're dancing around. Mm-hmm. And what happens is it puts the Memoji on your face, mm-hmm. but the rest of your body is you and the background is you. So yeah. I think it's kind of more fun.
Yeah, the Memoji karaoke, that was my favorite thing I saw.
Here's Serenity Caldwell with her, and it looks pretty, again, I don't think it's supposed to look exactly like her. It's kind of cool when you lip sync. So that's actually her body and her room. And it does a pretty good job of putting that on her head.
I think so.
So your hand and everything. I think that's kind of cool. I like so. That.
I do too. Because you can see her hands. You can see she's really into it.
That's SZA. SZA singing.
Let's just watch that for the
over and over.
Yeah.
I think it's very good. I like that. So that's an example of, I think, what people will probably start doing, and you're going to start getting in your messages in about 3 months, lots of that,
mm-hmm.
which could be annoying.
If you have a lot of friends who have the iPhone 10.
Well, don't you? Oh, by the way, yeah, good point. Now, Apple didn't make a big point about this. Mm-hmm. They didn't say iPhone 10 only, but it is iPhone 10 only now. But I think we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. I think the reason they didn't say that is because it will be also compatible with whatever the new iPhones
right.
are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really new iPhones only.
Right.
Yeah. But so, it needs that face array thing in the front, the notch.
Mm-hmm. Apple also Sherlocked themselves a little bit. They made a big deal of the parental controls, but there are time limits already built into iOS.
Time limits? I didn't know that. I knew there were parental controls, but I didn't know there were time limits.
There are time limits. They're built. They're buried deep in accessibility. I've always wondered why.
Accessibility.
Why parental controls are in accessibility.
It actually should be called inaccessibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's see. Accessibility. Okay. So then it is in guided access. Let's find guided access. Here we are. So first you have to turn guided access on, and then time limits. So they're right there. So you wouldn't even see it. It's one of those things that are totally hidden. Like you'd have to find guided access.
So they didn't even have to add that feature. They just had to surface it.
Yes, basically. Oh, funny. So it's a little bit limited, but you can say time limits, and then you'll get a sound or it'll speak, say, your time is ended. And so you have to turn guided access on.
Your time is ended.
And then set it up from there. So they're already in there, but they're hard to find and
That's good to know, parents. You can do it.
you can do it. Yeah. So it's already there, but you know that's probably going to be easier to figure out. But you know the other time limit app that already exists is Moment, which has been around for a while. And that we've used, but it'll show you, not just for parents, but for anyone,
Moment.
How often you are picking up your iPhone and what you're doing.
So, Yeah. It can't show you what apps you're running, can it?
It can show you.
Like how much you've used Instagram. It couldn't show you how much time you've spent on Facebook.
Well, yeah. Oh, okay. So it's telling me I had it on before. Like about a year or two ago, but then it would use up my battery so fast.
Well, that's always an issue too, right?
But it's not as bad anymore, I've noticed. So yesterday I was on my phone for 1 hour and 1 minute, and it tells me every time I picked up my phone.
But it doesn't say what apps you're using.
No.
And that's a limitation that Apple imposes on third parties. You know, other apps can't see what apps you're using, and that's for security, but that's why we had to wait for Apple to do this. On Android, there are apps that will do that, that will tell you exactly. Mm-hmm. Instant is the one I use. And I've used this for a long time. It's very handy, mm-hmm. actually, to see what you're wasting time on.
Well, I mean, you can tell what apps you're using in the battery life.
There is in the battery life,
yeah.
Right? That's another thing Apple Sherlocked themselves on. Mm-hmm. This capability is not new. It came out in iOS 11 in the battery, and that was really so that you could see. We talked about this, I think, last week.
Yeah,
it was
we
so that you could see how much his battery life is being mm-hmm. used, but it does show how much screen time, which mm-hmm. is what you want to know.
Right. So, yeah, that is, this is mostly my kids who are using.
I think the way it's going to be organized in the new well-being features.
It'll be easier.
It'll be more straightforward. It'll be easier to see what's really going on.
So I think you're right. Like they're surfacing.
Yeah.
And
making it more accessible. Yeah.
Multiplayer AR. That was another feature.
Can't do that now, can we?
Yes, we can.
Because I thought that would be really fun to play, you know, like that slingshot game.
Yes. Well, there's two multiplayer AR games that Anthony Nielsen, the Screensavers producer, showed me. One is Hero. I forgot what it stands for. What I forgot what the HAO stands for.
Heroes Alliance Online. Heroes Alliance Online. Have you played this, Kevin? You already know about it?
No, Kevin? I had the link in the doc.
The first fantasy augmented reality. It's a FFAR MMORPG.
Exactly.
The very first fantasy augmented reality massively multiplayer online role playing mm-hmm. game. Now you know why they have. Now you know why they have acronyms.
So I have it up here, but I forgot to tell you to download it. So here it is. What it looks
it's
like.
It's FAMOBARG.
I can host a game.
So should I download it real quick?
Yes, download it, and then you're going to shoot Heroes Alliance Online, and then you will shoot at this barcode. Or I guess, I don't know if anybody watching this could shoot at that barcode and get it. Could they?
Is it iPhone only?
I think it's iPhone and Android.
Oh, Hero Alliance Online Duel.
Oh, you mean, yes.
Yeah. All right, I'm downloading it. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we have a pretty fast connection. So, yeah. Gosh, I want to get in this game with you.
So I don't know if anyone else is playing and they see that barcode, could they shoot it at the screen?
So I need to be in the same room as you.
Probably,
to
yes.
play it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Anthony's going to play too.
Can we have three players, Anthony?
Yep. Okay, so.
All right, Beyond One. How Duel would like to. Okay, so who should I be? I'll be a little girl witch.
Yeah, join the game.
Is that Pink playing in the background? Is that my? I think my computer. Align the QR code. Okay. Align. Start game. I'm aligning. Now what? Oh, that's your start game. I'm trying to press.
Oh, do I have to say start game? Wait.
Oh, I'm in it. All right. I don't need a keyboard to kill you.
Did you already get the thing?
Okay.
So now.
This is as
now,
much.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Whoa. I'm going into the world. You're in a giant bubble.
Whoa, you're.
What the hell? Anthony, are you in the game?
Yeah. No one can see how. Much
what do fun. We? What do we do okay. now?
Now I shoot you. Oh, perfect.
I'm in a bubble too, though.
Well, you attack each other, but you guys, since you're sitting next to each other, it's kind of.
Don't. It's not as fun.
It's hard when you're sitting next around. To each other.
So, yeah, that's what it looks like. Is that Anthony's phone? Are you?
Yeah, that's Anthony's phone.
Kill
so
Leo, not me.
Kill Leo, not me. Kill Leo, not me, she says.
Okay.
Ha. All right, so I'm going to get farther away so I can shoot you.
Great.
How do you shoot? Oh, I see.
You press
tap
the buttons.
Her. You just
yeah.
tap her. I'm shooting Anthony now.
Oh, good.
Now I'm shooting you. He's too far away.
So
What's
I think
that
we're.
Bubble?
That's your shield.
Don't shoot my own shield.
It looks like it's bugging out a bit because the bubble's supposed to be where you are.
The bubble's not where I am.
So I think what we're really showing off is how it's not fun to watch other people. Yeah, or how janky it is too, because your shield is way over there.
Yeah, your shield's not working on you either because I'm about to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Can I use different weapons on you?
I guess so.
Tornado blast! Tornado blast! Megan, tornado blast. So, getting you now. Ooh.
I keep trying to use the iPad as a shield. Is that what I'm supposed to be doing?
Tornado! Tornado!
So, multiplayer AR. Really fun.
Sending eagles
oh,
against
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that eagle. Did you
sending
see the eagle?
Eagles against you. Sending. I send that eagle. Now, here's another tornado blast.
Oh.
I won.
I lost.
Wait a minute. It says I won.
I said, it's mine says you lost. So
how come Anthony's
this game
won?
Is
how
sexist.
Come Anthony won and I won. How come Anthony won okay. and I won? That's fun.
It could be. It has potential.
It seems to have, as one would expect, issues with augmented reality, placing mm-hmm. things correctly in space. And that's actually a tough thing to do. One of the reasons a lot of what Apple's doing involves the notch is because they have a depth sensing camera on there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, all the stuff they're showing has to be on the back camera of the iPad or the iPhone, and that doesn't have any of the capabilities. It's just a regular camera. So
when I played it with Anthony and I was on my iPhone 10 and he was on his iPhone 7, I won. So maybe.
But your iPhone 10 camera is almost identical to the iPhone 7. So that's the problem. This back camera isn't really in any way specially enabled for augmented reality.
Oh, right.
The notch camera is. So what I'm wondering is Apple's plan, I wouldn't be surprised to put some of those capabilities, maybe a depth sensing camera. We've heard rumors that there were going to be a triple camera on the back of the iPhone. It would be my guess that actually it's not a triple camera, but they're adding that depth sensing infrared camera, which is already in the front of the 10, to the back. And then these games would make a lot more sense. They would work a lot better. But it's, you know, with a camera, it's not much better than Pokemon Go. It's very, you know, it's kind of floating, doesn't quite stand on the ground and all that stuff. So, good. Anyway, it won't be any different on iOS 12 unless you have special hardware, I guess is the thing to say.
And this one's free.
I wonder what Apple's doing, though, with like the Slingshot game and all
that. Yeah.
Are they doing a better job?
We'll try that as soon as we get the public beta. We'll try it.
Yeah. You and I have both signed up for 12. Mm-hmm. And I signed up for Mojave, a Mac OS 10, 14, because I think that everything I've heard so far is it's pretty stable. Mm. Now, that is not to say that you should run out and do it yourself, especially if you have just the iPhone or just one iPad and you don't, you know, if you'll be out of luck if your iPhone stops working, then you shouldn't probably do it. Mm-hmm. Apple will even say that when you first apply. Don't do this if this is your primary device. It's really more for a secondary device. Although, I'm taking the chance. I only have one iPhone.
The other thing you liked was the walkie-talkie feature.
You want to try that? Because you sent me something.
Well, it's not for the watch, but it is a sort of walkie-talkie.
It's aptly named Marco Polo.
Marco Polo.
So Marco. See?
So I sent you a little message.
I'm going to enter my phone number here. Oh, actually, you know what? I think I already did it on the iPhone. That's why.
Okay.
It's set up on the iPhone.
I have two for you. I have like, here, if you take a look. Can you see my screen, Kevin? I have respectable Leo and not respectable Leo. I don't know. Those must be your two phone numbers. And I tried to get my kids. Josh is on it. Let's see if he's working.
So,
Josh, what you doing?
So where are you? There's
Hi,
a
Josh.
Test bot.
What you doing? You don't see me? Hey. Can you hear me? Hello.
Let me turn the volume up.
And then I can be macho.
Hey. Can you hear me? Hello.
Turn the volume up.
And then I can
be macho.
Oh, so it changes my voice.
Hello.
And I can do a robot voice?
You sound like me now.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
I did a robot voice.
So I'm getting, it's like FaceTime, a live picture of you?
Yes.
It's not a walkie-talkie exactly.
Well, I did just contact you.
What do you want?
It is like FaceTime. Okay.
Okay, that's it. You finished streaming your first Polo. If Megan isn't watching it already, they can watch it later.
There it is. Oh, I unplugged
if you
my
want
sound.
To take it back, hold down the thumbnail and delete it. Okay, so then, that's live.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it is
can
like
I just
FaceTime.
Tell you something?
Yes.
That is not obvious that it's streaming live to you. It says start.
Yeah.
So that's risky because I could actually be changing my clothes to surprise you with a new costume.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching this.
That is risky. This
so
is
it isn't walkie-talkie.
Like.
It's live.
Whoa, pop art. Oh, now I'm pop art.
That's blinding.
So it is.
Are you going to send me that?
Oh, so I'm not sending it to you? Oh, because I have to say start. So
oh,
now I'm recording.
My daughter just joined.
Oh, so she is watching or?
Hi, Abby. This is my Marco Polo. Now we can talk back and forth asynchronously.
I can also talk to Abby.
And here is some helium. Hello. That's a helium voice. I don't hear it, but she'll hear it.
I guess so.
That's Megan. Say hi, Megan.
Hi, Abby.
She's speaking in helium voice, too.
I can also talk to Abby.
Okay, too. I just sent it to her. But now she's now, but I don't want her to see me. So I don't understand. What are you the pug dog? Oh yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really annoying. So, but the thing to so now, can you see me live? Are you seeing my face? Yeah, you can see me live.
What do you want?
Oh, that's
start.
Oh, that's my so that's my confusing.
Oh,
okay.
So she is watching, or
hi, Abby. This is my Marco Polo. Now we can talk back and forth asynchronously.
Okay, you recorded a Marco Polo of me sending a Marco Polo.
This is very confusing.
All right, I'm gonna send one to Henry too. So what's interesting is Abby is on an Android device.
Oh yeah.
So she can Marco Polo too.
So it's like
that's something that FaceTime, the Apples Apples will not have. Now this is video, which the Apple Watch is not. The walkie-talkie on Apple Watch is just going to be audio.
This has really nothing to do with the walkie-talkie. Let's be honest, except for the words.
It says walkie-talkie. Actually, it kind of works.
It works.
Kind of works. It's kind of neat.
If you want to just contact someone. I mean, this is for kids. Like, you would not want me just to be able to say, hey.
Hey.
Leo.
Hey.
I can make myself have a robot voice.
Yeah, it seems more. Well, I don't know if it's for kids.
Well, I don't know. My, when I.
Oh, Abby's talking to me.
Oh, there she is.
This is quite confusing. I'm not exactly sure if it's. What asynchronously must mean at different times, but kind of at the same time. Anyway, I'd love a full explanation. Love you, Dad.
That's Abby for you.
I love that.
Okay, now that's pretty cool that I was able to do that.
Yeah.
So Abby calls during the show or when I'm working and I can't talk to her, but asynchronously, she got it right. It means it's not back and forth in real time. Mm-hmm. I send something, she can watch it like a text message mm-hmm. at her convenience and send me something back. And actually, you can send video and messages, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think asynchronous is what the kids like these days.
Kids are all all over the asynchronous.
Well, because my kids really like Snapchat.
Right.
They prefer it to text message because they say, well, when we're texting, it feels like we're talking to you, Mom. But they can see each other's faces when they're Snapchatting.
Well, you
saw
how great that was. I could see where Abby is. She's walking. I could see what's going on. She could see where I was. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really cool.
Yes.
Now I feel like I should send her something back.
You should. I think we should have a Marco Polo check-in with Abby during every show.
Love a full explanation. Love you, Dad.
Her laugh.
That's funny too.
Okay. Now I'm going to send it. Hi, sweetie. Yeah, it's not in real time. So I send it, then you can watch it at your leisure, and you send it, I can watch it at my leisure. Oh, but it says she's watching. So that means that she's seeing what I'm doing right now.
Right, like I was seeing what you were doing.
So now it's kind of like FaceTime, because it's not like FaceTime, because it's perfect for me. I can talk without being interrupted.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Anyway, I love you. I'll talk to you after the show. Bye. That's really cool.
I love how her laugh is just like yours.
Does she sound like me? Oh, she's talking to me now. But I'm going to save that for later, like a nice piece of fudge.
Aww.
For later.
Sweet.
A little bit of See's candy kind of on the counter waiting for me.
The 32 people FaceTime, you can do that with House Party, as we've mentioned before.
Yeah.
And that's
in fact, as soon as I saw it, I thought, well, wow, Apple just invented something that's been around for a while. Google did it first with Hangouts with 8 people. You're never going to use 32 people. 8 seems like enough. Hangouts even does that thing where whoever's talking comes up, but it doesn't do the really cool, floaty, it gets bigger, gets smaller thing. It just has a bar. It's very Google, right? Mm-hmm. It has a bar, 8 pictures. You can see all 8 people all at once. And then whoever's talking goes up to the middle and then mm-hmm. it changes. But it works great.
Mm-hmm.
House Party. A lot of the kids, I think, use House Party. That's from the folks who did Meerkat. And they decided Meerkat wasn't going anywhere, so they killed Meerkat, and they created House Party.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Is there anything else that iOS 12 is bringing to the table? I think that's pretty much every feature I want.
Well, we talked about IFT and...
Oh, that's one thing you can't really duplicate. You can go down and get Workflow right now. You can still get the Workflow app, which Apple bought, and will be, I believe... They haven't. I don't think they've really said, but I believe will be the heart of what Apple's doing with Siri shortcuts. It's not integrated with Siri yet, This is Workflow. It was a paid app, but Apple made it free as soon as they bought it. And if you look at it, it does kind of look a little bit like what Apple demonstrated with these buttons and so forth. It's a little more limited, but that's exactly, again, the case with everything else. When Apple does something, they have access to everything on the operating system, so they can make it much more sophisticated. So these are the workflows that, you know, as an example, I should use this one, running late. That would be a really good one. I'm often looking for ATMs nearby. I don't really need directions home. Last photo to Instagram, that'd be good. Calculate tip, who wouldn't want that? And then you can add a workflow widget to your front page. So we'll do that real quickly. I just accepted those four. You can create a new workflow, and it has some fairly sophisticated capabilities. And using the URL scheme that Apple has allowed for some time, where you can call another application with what looks like a web address, but it's actually the application name :// and a command. So it uses that scheme, which Apple did built into iOS early on, to get things to talk to one another. It's kind of like share sheets talk to one another. But I'm sure with Apple, it'll be much more powerful. And I love the idea that it will integrate Siri. That's going to be a natural thing. So if you want to kind of play with shortcuts, I think that whatever Apple does will feel a lot like this. It'll just be more powerful. So this would be like a little shortcut sandbox you could try.
Right.
And Workflow. It's free.
IFT is also similar. That's what I have up on mine. But it's not, you're right, it's going to look more like Workflow because that's the app that they bought.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are all of
that's mine. If this then that.
Yes.
You've got. Same idea though, tiles, scripts. If this then that really describes kind of what's going on. If this happens, then do that. Mm-hmm. And you can have daisy chained if this then that's, right? Mm-hmm. Or can you? I can't remember.
I think you can.
You could have multiple actions.
Yeah.
I use a similar service called Zapier that does allow that. So for instance, I have a Zapier script that when I post to one website, it automatically posts to Twitter, to Facebook, to the other website. So it's one, you post once and it goes everywhere. That's an example of a workflow. You know, I use Zapier though instead of if this and that.
So what we're trying to say really is sort of the DNA of iOS 12 is already in
out there.
Apps.
Yeah.
And if you like and think about DNA a lot, you might want to try 23andMe.
Nice segue. Very well done. Father's Day's coming. Do you have your Father's Day gift? It's this Sunday.
I do.
This would be a really nice one. 23andMe is genetic analysis. They don't have to go to a doctor. You don't have to give them blood or anything. You actually just give them spit, a little bit of saliva. You spit in a vial. They'll send you the kit. You send it back in the prepaid mailer. And then in 6 to 8 weeks, you get a report back. And I'm going to do this for Dad because I have already done it for other members of my family. I did 23andMe when it first started years ago. And it's so fascinating. It really is the most interesting book there is, the book about you, the 23 pairs of chromosomes. One pair from your mom, one pair from your dad that make you, you. Shouldn't you share that with your father? Wouldn't that be cool? And if you haven't done it, the 30% off works for you too. You can get as many kits as you want at 30% off. Now through June 17th, go to 23andme.com/twit. Okay, 23andme.com/twit. 75 detailed online reports, including genetic ancestry, inherited traits. You can even learn how your genes affect your health. The ancestry reports include ancestry composition, what they call the haplogroup. So you have a maternal and a paternal haplogroup. And for instance, I share my haplogroup has certain features that I share with other people in that haplogroup. They even tell you at 23andMe who else is, you know, whether famous people have your haplogroup. Mm. I have the same, as it turns out, it's same haplogroup as Cheddar Man.
What is Cheddar Man?
Guy likes cheese, I guess. No, he was an ancient fossilized body that they found in the UK.
Why'd they call him Cheddar Man?
Because it's the area where I guess
cheddar
cheese comes from.
Oh,
but he's like my relative. You can find closer relatives too if you want, because they have a relative finder, which lets you connect with new relatives. Because as more and more people, I have kind of a little bit of a vested interest in you doing 23andMe, because as people do it, you find more and more relatives. And you control this. You don't have to be available. You can keep your stuff to yourself. But if you decide to allow people to, you know, seek relatives and you decide to do it, last month I got a message from 23andMe, something like 56 new relatives.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of people are coming online. Now, a lot of them are third or fourth cousins or distant relatives. But I found second cousins. It's really cool. And they do a very good job protecting your privacy. You don't have to worry about that. I know sometimes people worry about that. They've got high security. They're very, very careful. But it's so fun. It's so fascinating. And what a great gift for Dad for Father's Day. 30% off is a very good discount. I already did it for my mom and my sister. I'm going to do it for my dad. Lisa's done it. She's giving it to Michael's dad. It's really great when you get all the families. Mm-hmm. 23andMe. No blood, no needles. You get your results in 6 to 8 weeks. Keep that in mind. It takes a while to analyze your genes. You also get access to the raw data. And we have a friend who downloaded the raw data, and there's some sites you can upload the raw data to because it's a standard format. Mm-hmm. And this site recommends medication and diet based on your genetics. So you can do stuff with this raw data that you get from 23andMe over and above that. So it's really great. 23andme.com/twit. 30% off each kit. The offer includes gift wrap. Dad will love it. And, you know, it's really cool when you share. My mom just shared her results with me. By the way, it says on there, Mary Laporte is almost certainly your mother. Because she and I share 49.9% of our DNA.
Almost.
Isn't that funny?
Certainly.
Almost certainly. Which means Dad, I think, will share 50. I will share 50.1% of his, right? Almost certainly. Huh. She's my mom. 23. I love this. 23andme.com/twit. Let me thank him for supporting iOS today.
So do you ever find a video on YouTube and then you think, oh my gosh, I can't believe that someone did that. And then you find out that there's a whole bunch of people doing the same thing. There's this whole weird YouTube community of people.
So it was Tide Pods. And now what is it?
Apparently, it's going scuba diving to find weird things
at the
bottom of rivers.
It's very dangerous unless you're a certified diver. Do not do that.
Okay, so there was a guy. So there was this video going around of a guy who found an iPhone 10 in the river.
It'd been there for a year.
Two weeks. It'd been there for a year, which is totally weird since the iPhone 10 hasn't even been out for a year.
That's like the first iPhone 10. Not a year.
Working. And it was crazy because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe someone does that. And apparently there's a lot of people who make videos like this where they go around. But it was still working. It wasn't in a waterproof case or anything. Now, if you're watching this, you're seeing the guy talk to the woman whose phone it was. She's super excited, but he never tells her that the screen's totally cracked. He says it's perfectly working. The screen is cracked, but it's still
I wonder if anybody will find my Mavic Pro drone.
Where did you lose it in water? Or you just lost it?
In the Caribbean.
Yeah, probably. Look at it. He finds, I don't even know what that is. He doesn't know what that is. Do you know what that is? It looks like a tiny vacuum, but why you'd have that on the river? But this is smart.
Well, at least he's cleaning up the river, I guess.
Yeah, because he goes after the weekend, and there's probably like
it's not really diving. I mean, it's just kind of
it's not dangerous what he's doing. Yeah, it's just the river where a bunch of people float around, and they're maybe a little bit drunk. And then he returns the stuff to people, which is great. Here he found like someone's ring or something.
I bet she was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a scuba diving license? You should go out and do that.
I have scuba dived twice, but I'm not certified.
Oh.
But, that's pretty nice. He found, like, a wedding ring.
Yeah. Nice. He put it on. So the iPhone 10 that he found worked, even though it had been down there for 2 weeks or a year. It's fascinating. So if you are interested...
It's a better story if it had been down there for a year, frankly.
Yeah, especially if it was my iPhone 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're interested in watching people dive for stuff that other people have dropped in the river, there's a million videos like this.
This trend will be over pretty quick, I think.
I don't know if it's a trend.
Man plus river.
Man plus river. He did it and he returned her it and she was super excited. He dried it like with...
So this is great about YouTube because you can get a whole series out of something that's too slight a concept for any, real television. But it works fine on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about
Why is the nose there?
The nose of the mask?
Oh, I get it. It's a snorkeling mask.
I guess so, yeah.
I'd expect to find quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What is that, a false breast? Oh, it's a coconut.
Same thing, essentially.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, Man Plus River.
Okay, so moving on, Apple, according to the new developer guidelines, they're banning cryptocurrency mining apps and any apps that have advertising for cryptocurrency mining. Interesting.
Don't know why they would, but that's Apple for you.
Yeah.
If you want to use all the CPU's power on your iPhone for mining currency, why shouldn't you be able to?
Right. Because, yeah, I guess it's...
What's
it's
wrong
those,
with that?
It's one of those paternalistic things. We know better than you. You probably don't know what you're doing. It says they may not run unrelated background processes. No apps may run unrelated background processes, such as cryptocurrency mining. So
oh, I agree with them that they should ban apps that don't tell you that are doing that in the background without telling you. Like you download a Memoji app and then it does crypto in the mining in the background. That's wrong, and that does happen. We've even seen websites do that. That's a big thing with websites. So if that's all they're banning, I'm fine with that. But if they ban, if I want to download a Bitcoin miner and put it on my phone, I should be able to do that.
And it's unclear if you're allowed to do that. Unrelated background process. So if the app is...
That's appropriate. Okay, good. I saw that story, but I didn't actually think about what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah, but they might not...
You can't run unrelated. In other words, you can't run hidden things in the background. See, if people want to monetize their app, they might put a crypto miner. The thing is, especially with Bitcoin, it takes so much power and effort to mine Bitcoin. It's highly unlikely you'd be able to make anything on a phone. Mm-hmm. But if you had it on a million phones,
yeah,
you might.
I mean, I think wasn't Salon thinking of doing that?
Like, yeah, a lot of sites are doing
it. An app might say, hey, like, here's my game app, and we're also going to run this cryptocurrency miner.
Well, it won't let you do that either, right? Yeah, it's not whether it's promoted, warrant, you know, it's whether that does it.
Right. So, but I mean,
it's unrelated to the main purpose of the app.
So your first point was true because.
But can I get a crypto? But can I download a mining app? If it says this is what it's for, it sounds like I could. Because it's not unrelated.
That sounds like you could too.
I wonder. I'll have to call Apple.
And these are
and
the
ask.
New. Yeah, call them and yeah. ask.
Yeah, you can download. Here's a crypto miner from Monero, which is a popular crypto coin. Ronnie Schultz. And it's not been pulled. Now, maybe it will be pulled, but it's not been pulled.
Because
this says explicitly, this is you'll be running this and you'll be mining Monero for your benefit, not my benefit, for your benefit.
So you could just run that app and make some money on the cat on
well,
the side?
It's a little easier to make Monero than it is to make Bitcoin, but... you know, there's a pretty fast processor in here. It's just, it seems, now I'm getting an ad. This will be banned.
So
the good news is he's making money from ads. Your money, oh, look, you can, Intense Coin, Dynasty Coin, Bitecoin, Monero, Graft, Superior Coin, Turtle Coin. Did you see that Dennis Rodman had a T-shirt? When he was weeping about the Trump Kim summit, he was weeping. He had a T-shirt that said Potcoin, which must be his little corner of the coin world. Yeah. Custom Pool Crypto Night. Eon Ultranote. Yeah, I think you probably don't want to have these apps on here.
Well, I mean, if things don't work out with Twit, then maybe that
could be my future.
Crypto miner is your future.
Yeah, yeah. Just get 1,000 iPads. There it is. We didn't. I'm sure that's, you know, Potcoin is completely on the up and up.
I'm sure it is.
Sure, there's nothing weird about that. No siree.
If you are watching from Spain and you like football.
Who doesn't?
The Liga de Profesional app on iOS and Android, they were tracking your every move.
Oh, what? That's just by accident. Well, why would they care?
It also used your microphone. So yeah, they said they said they weren't storing or recording any of the content, but
yeah.
You know, just be aware if you use that app. I mean, it's I think it's a very popular app.
They'll fix it. Yeah. But what do they want? What do they care about where everybody is? The app probably did want to know if you're in Spain, and maybe it wants to know where you are so it could show you an appropriate ad.
I think you could only use it if you were in Spain.
Your phone's tracking you all the time, so why shouldn't the app?
True.
Oh, if you can only use it in Spain, that's why it was on. So that if you left the country, you couldn't use it.
Okay. Ready for some Q and hopefully some A?
I'll do my best. I'll do the A if you do the Q.
Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Here's the Q. Let's hope we can do the A's together. Josh from England writes, I was wondering if you could possibly explain what experimental WebKit features are. Some of them are already automatically turned on after iOS 11 update, and I've since turned them all off. Is there anything that I should turn back on and the ones I should leave off? So these are for developers, right? Experimental WebKit features are for developers. But if you go to the settings and Safari, let's see, settings, Safari, advanced, experimental web. So let's go to settings.
Generally, so there's a mix of these. And you can see here, constant properties, CSS display. A lot of this stuff, Spring Animation, is totally for developers. So they could turn these on or off.
You can see.
And it will make it easier for them to, you know, diagnose problems in their apps.
But why are some on and want some off? Like, I didn't go through this.
Well, you probably do want the cache API turned on. Secure content API, you probably do want that turned on.
Do I want web GPU? So
you actually probably do want web GPU.
So some of these
are for developers' benefit to debug programs, and some of them are experimental features in the sense that they're perhaps not fully debugged. They may have problems. And people, if they're knowledgeable, can turn them on, you know, for their benefit. The web GPU would speed up things by using the GPU built into the iPad. And that's actually an experimental feature in a lot of browsers, to use the graphics processing unit. Most people don't have GPUs on their PCs, or they have very limited GPUs. But if it helps and speeds up rendering of images, then it would be a good thing. So, yeah, I think there's some things you might want to go in there. I would probably leave the defaults. If you're a developer, you know what you want and what you don't want. If you know enough to look for this and there are experimental features you think would be kind of cool, I think web GPU is perhaps one of them.
I just turned it on.
Turn it on and see if it causes issues. The problem, what happens, though, is people turn these on, forget that they turned them on, and then all of a sudden websites won't load, and then they call me and they say, for some reason, whenever I go to Gmail, I get a blank screen. And, you know, I say, I don't know why. But it's because you turned on an experimental feature 3 months ago and you just completely forgot you did it.
So if you don't know what they are, don't touch them.
I would suggest not messing with it. Mm-hmm. This is a black diamond tip.
It also seems weird that it was buried, but it wasn't even as buried as the accessibility thing was.
Isn't that funny? It's right there in the Safari settings.
Oh, experimental features? I want to try that.
A lot of browsers, you know, Firefox, Chrome, Safari on the desktop all have these experimental features. And usually, in most cases, they're things that developers need, but some of them might be useful to you.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when we got an email from Tom from Atlanta? He said that his Logitech Create keyboard wasn't working, his case wasn't working with the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
And he said it was magically fixed in iOS 11.4.
Nice.
So don't give up on your Logitech yet.
Nice. That must have been an iOS bug.
Mm-hmm. Here's another suggestion.
So wait a minute. Now, I wonder, you know what, I didn't try. Well, I'm on 11.4.1 now because we're on the beta, but I should have tried it to see, because I have the same keyboard.
But yours always worked, right?
I think it always charged, but maybe not. You know, I don't check. I plug it in and then, you know, if it, maybe it didn't. I don't know.
Mm.
A lot of times I charge without the keyboard.
So David,
last night I think I charged with the keyboard and it did charge, yeah.
David has a suggestion for an for a audiobook lover like yourself. It's called OTR Streamer. Thousands of episodes in 8 categories from the golden age of radio voice acting.
OTR stands for old time radio.
Old time radio. Sorry, not OTR.
Yeah, it's funny. My dad and I, when I was a kid, There was a station. It was kind of a distant radio station that played The Shadow. We couldn't get it in the house because it was such a weak station. So he and I would sit in the, it was kind of a nice bonding moment, sit in the car listening to Who Knows What Evil Lurks in the Heart. Even when I was a kid, that stuff was old-time radio. Now it's really old-time radio. I noticed you're getting an ad on there. Mm-hmm. This is, there are several very well-known websites that stream all the same stuff. So you probably don't need this app. Okay. If you want to avoid the ad, you could just go to, just search for old-time radio.
So I could listen to Baby Snooks? Did you ever listen to
Baby Snooks?
Baby Snooks.
Yeah. That was,
There comes a time in every father's life.
What was her name?
When he must take his offspring to see the circus.
It's an adult woman, well-known for her Baby Snooks.
So is Baby Snooks, accompanied by her father, played by Hanley Stafford.
Actually, Internet Archive has a whole bunch of free old-time radio as well.
And you won't have to watch.
It's good. You know, if it's fine to have that app. There are a number of apps like it. And then there are a number of radio shows like, websites rather like it, and that you can just listen to stream off the Internet. So it just... who's this?
This is Burns and Allen.
I love Burns and Allen.
Rides Again. This is going to be racist.
Campbell's Soup presents... George Burns and Gracie Allen.
There are also full-time, old-time radio stations you can stream, so Dad and I wouldn't have to get in the car anymore. We just fire up the old computer and put it on, and these stations just play their radio stations. An old-time radio. I wonder what's going on right now.
Knowing what wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit firewise.org to find out how
so they
you
have
can
real
make your home
modern
more defensible against
public
wildfires.
Service announcements.
Oh, firewise.org, a public service brought to
when you're weary in times of trouble.
Oh Lord, I'm getting his ad. So maybe that isn't the best solution.
They're just trying to make a living.
Online old-time radio. Listen, welcome. Let's see about this one. See what
anywhere
it's...
kills disease germs on contact.
Lysol.
It's Lysol in a new pine scent.
Right. Now there's a new pine-scented Lysol.
See, I could have
now
gotten work in those days.
Pine, sweet,
now there's
Lysol
a new pine-scented Lysol.
Lysol brand disinfectant. Lysol brand disinfectant.
I was just born
cleans,
too late.
Kitchen, bathroom, nursery, sick room.
Oh, you were born right
keeps
on
things
time.
Fresh and sweet with no extra work. Pine-scented Lysol helps guard your home. In laboratory tests, Lysol's anti-germ action...
Boy, those ads go on and on, says Leo, the king of the ad that goes on and on. Old-time radio, yeah. You know, this is a huge category. And I suspect the audience for this must be dwindling. Do you have a hankering to listen to the great Gildersleeve?
I don't.
No, I don't think so.
Well, there's yes. There's so much new time radio.
That's the thing. We live in an era where there's an almost infinite amount of great audio content out there. So why, you know, I mean, it's fun to hear The Shadow and stuff like that.
Someday people will be using their their hologram screens to watch us. Like, oh, look, Megan and
we are going to be the old time radio.
Yeah,
you know, there was a
maybe we already are.
We might be. There was a in Toronto at the hotel called the Drake Hotel where I used to stay when I went up to Toronto. In the bar there, they would run old computer shows
on
the screen. And I told Amber at the time, you know, someday we'll be on that screen. And I think by now we are. Those old computer chronicle shows, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days.
It was weird that they would run that. I guess they thought it was a hoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a very hip bar.
Okay, I got one more comment, sort of a comment / question. Bob from St. Charles asks, I've noticed that I turn the lights on or off using Siri on my HomePod. There's no verbal confirmation for the lights in the same room. I still get confirmation lights in other rooms and non-light devices like fans in the same room. Is there a new feature in 11.4 software? Have I not noticed it before?
Is this a new feature?
Yes, is this.
So, Google. So I often use Google to turn off my lights because I can... Same command, I can say, Echo, turn the lights off. And she just, I think she just goes,
doo-doo.
I can't remember.
That's what my Echo.
Google will say, okay, turning off two lights.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it with Siri. So, yeah, I think that's, you know.
I haven't tried it either.
It's nice to get an acknowledgement.
I guess, but I mean,
the acknowledgement is the lights going off. Right.
Unless you are blind, and so maybe you just someone like your kids left the lights on, and you want to make sure they're off. But that would be an accessibility
thing. Nice to say that. So this is interesting. Let me look at this question again because he says, if he's in the same room, there's no verbal confirmation. Well, that makes sense because you'll know the lights are gone off. But there is a confirmation when it's lights in other rooms and non-light devices like fans. That kind of makes sense. That's the kind of thing Apple puts a lot of thought into. Do we need to say, okay, the lights are turning off if you're in the same room that the lights are going off? Probably not. If it's another room you don't know, they have to give you a confirmation. So that's actually, I'm sure that that's, Apple put that in as a feature.
I think they did too.
Thoughtful feature.
Because people complained. I think when I did some research, people were complaining. They said, why does it have to say, okay, I'll turn them off when I know that they're off? And so I think 11.4.
So this is a new feature
they
that
listened.
That's thoughtful.
Because with the Echo, you can, I actually used to like when she would say, okay, and turn the lights off. But now she just makes the noise. But it's sort of like, I just want, it's not that, I mean, I know the lights are turning off or on because I can see it, but I want an acknowledgement.
I think in Amazon's Echo, you can turn that back on.
Right, you can turn it back on.
Yeah, I turned off the acknowledgements because I prefer, I don't want to hear all that verbiage.
Yeah.
Don't talk, just do.
I haven't, my next journey into smart home living is to make my HomePod the my HomeKit hub. I haven't done that yet.
Actually, my AppCap might be something you want to try out.
I'm excited. Are we ready for to don our caps?
I am.
I am too.
Are you ready? It's AppCap time. We don these hats to show our support for the United States of America.
Yes. And my app cap is going into space, so I need a helmet for that.
That ought to protect you pretty darn good. Actually, this is a Ruski hat.
Oh, really?
This is a Ruski hat. It has a bunch of commie badges on it. Mm-hmm. I bought this in St. Petersburg.
Okay, so we wear caps because this is app cap. This is our favorite app of the week.
It is.
The app we've been using and loving.
Tis.
And we want to tell you about it. And my app cap is called Cosmic Watch. It has nothing to do with your watch. It's just watching, like with your eyes. And it's for iPad or iPhone. And I'm not going to rate it. I'll rate it later. And this is
I
just,
hate that. I wish they would get rid of that. Just stop it.
This is a way to explore the solar system. So I can this is just the one view, and I can look at from where I am.
Ooh.
I can see where I am on Earth. See, like, there's Petaluma. There we are. This is the celestial sphere. I can just explore the universe, and I can go to different places, search location. So let's see. I want to go to Newcastle in Australia, and that's where that is. And I can go to different times so I can see real time. Or maybe I want to see what the universe looked like on my birthday. So I would have to go all the way back to 1973. Oh, wait, I'm going the wrong direction. Let's see what it's going to look like when I die in 2052. I just decided that. And then that's what it looks like. Or I can go back. I can go forward. I can do astronomy or astrology. There are different, you know, you can see the zodiacs, you can have guides. It's just, if you are interested in a really pretty app that will show you our solar system. This is just showing Earth. Let me get to the solar system. I've just been pressing all the buttons. There we go. There we are. You could just get a little bit of a perspective.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I think classrooms might be interesting in that too.
So this is called Cosmic Watch, and I believe it is about $2.99. Let me see. It's $4.99. Yeah, great.
That seems to be the new kind of go-to price for a lot of apps.
For an app that works on the iPad and can, you know, has a lot of features and looks good.
It's not I don't think that's unfair.
No, calculates next astronomical times. It's, you know, if you're interested in astronomy, explore the Cosmic Watch.
I've been playing. In fact, I guess we're probably reviewed on the new screensavers. You reviewed the Wyze Cam, the original Wyze Cam, WYZE. It's a camera you might put in your house for $20. They've come out with a new one. This is called the Wyze Cam Pan, and this is my app cap because there is an app that goes with it. In fact, without the app, there's not much else you can do with it. Unlike a lot of other cameras, there's no web-based interface to this. You need the app if you want to look and see what happened. It's an interesting camera because it's what we call a pan tilt zoom camera. That means you can direct it, you can point it at things.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That means if you're curious about what's going on somewhere in your house, It's easy enough to figure that out. It's a little sucker. It's not, now a couple of things some people have already noted about it. The gears in this are a little bit noisy. So you can, you know, you wouldn't want to put it next to your bed while you're sleeping. But not noisy enough that I can't have one in the studio, which I in fact do. And I'll show you the output of it in just a second. But this is the real point of this is the price. So let me kind of see if you can guess the price here. I've just opened one. This is the camera. It has a wide angle lens, 120 degree lens, has a speaker and a microphone. So you can hear what's going on and you can even get alerts from both motion on the camera and from the microphone. Has a micro USB charger it comes with, and it's on a little pedestal that it rotates. So I'll show you. Let me just show you. This is the WiseCam app, and they have it for Android as well. So that's my office. We're looking at my office right now. And because it's pan-tilt zoom, I can look around. I could say, what's going on? I can look up. I can look. It's, you have reached the end. It can't look straight up, obviously. But it gives you enough, especially if you position it well, I can keep an eye on our hats, make sure that our app caps are safe.
It's important.
Yeah.
But that's really nice. It's got a good picture.
It's a very good HD picture. You can zoom, too. I mean, I can. Oh, there's my hand. I'm zooming in on my hand. This actually shows you how little lag there is. There's not a lot of lag. That's pretty quick, right?
Right. And if someone wanted to grab our hats.
Wait a minute. Like, get out of there. Hey. So did you see it put a little green square? So it has motion detection, and it will alert you if there's motion or sound. I had to turn off sound because there was enough sound of cars going by and stuff. I was getting alerts all night. And actually, I realized the motion detection maybe wasn't the greatest because, I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing to leave on because it also could see this screen. It would often zoom in on the screen thinking there was motion in the office, but it was, of course, just Twit playing in the background. You can turn on sound so I can hear what's going on. Say something, Burke.
You could speak to him too, right? Under speak?
It also has a patrol mode. So what it will do if I don't mess with it is it'll periodically move. And that's how it can capture motion anywhere in the space.
Why did it move away from Burke?
Well, wouldn't you?
I do, actually, often.
So if there's somebody napping in your office, you can see and you can speak to them. Hey, Burke.
A little bit of a delay.
I thought something moved over there. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, okay. So how much is that? 175, 200, 250?
Well, there's more.
Okay.
A lot of cameras like this, like the Nest Cam, will charge you a monthly fee for storage. Mm-hmm. This has two ways of storing data. It does have an SD card slot in it, so a micro SD card slot. So you could have it continuously recording on there. But it also has, it'll keep 2 weeks of motion. It doesn't save it if there's nothing going on. But if there's motion, it'll save up to 2 weeks of motion free. There is no subscription. So you have 2 weeks of free. 2 weeks is plenty, right? If there's an incident within 2 weeks, you'll know there was an incident. It sends you notifications. You get alerts on your phone or your tablet. If you have the app installed, you'll get alerts saying, hey, I saw motion. You can immediately go see it. It has this pan tilt zoom. It has the ability to zoom in, which I think is great. So I can see somebody out. I see somebody out there in the car out there. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool. I could take a photo.
Wait, that's my car.
See? Aren't you glad we have this? I could take a photo. It allows us, this is where we have the motion tracking can be turned on and off. The pan scan is like the night watchman where it goes and it moves around and checks. You can even do waypoints on the pan scan, which is really great. You could say, go here, go here, go here. So it saw him there and it moved over there. That's maybe a little bit of a flaw. We'll see if it catches him.
Where'd he go? There he is.
Stealing
stuff.
He's
got a sledgehammer.
Stealing things. Oh, he's closing the curtains. I guess it's keeping him up. You also have motion tagging. That's where the you see the green thing. I can have an album, and I can even do a time lapse, which I think is kind of fun. But you need a micro SD card installed, obviously, for recording to the time lapse. You get to choose the bandwidth. So if you want to save bandwidth and send a lower quality stream, you can choose SD. It doesn't use a lot of bandwidth. We, when we had the original drop cams in our studio, we found that some of them are using a megabit. This right now for an HD signal is 161 kilobytes per second. I guess that's actually close to a megabit, isn't it? Come to think of it. But it only does it when there's motion. So you see, I have the timestamp and date on there. That's very handy, but you don't have to have it on there. It has night vision, so I just turned the night vision on. So you can turn that on or off, or leave it on auto, which is what I do. So when it's dark, it'll turn on, and when it's not dark, it'll turn off. So pan, tilt, zoom, which means you can point the camera anywhere. Automatic patrolling, and you set the where it patrols to. It has free 2 weeks recording. It's a pretty good image that you can manually pan, tilt, zoom, and you can even zoom in like this, although that's digital zoom, right? But that's good enough to see, you know, details of what's going on. Maybe not read a license plate, but certainly, I don't know, I guess, there's a license plate. I guess I can read a license plate. So that's pretty darn good. Yeah. Now how much would you pay? Now remember, the original was $20.
Oh. I don't know.
$30 plus
$30.
Shipping. $30. I don't get it.
Are they stealing all your personal information? Are they?
No. And in fact, data that. So this is interesting. The data coming from your camera is stored on an Amazon S3 bucket. No one else has access to. There is no website. The only access is through this app. So I think it's even more secure than, say, you know, somebody else's camera. You don't have to have that turned on. They somebody pointed out in the Reddit thread, oh, wait a minute, it's pinging China. It is. By the way, the manufacturer is very responsive. They were right there on the app and said, yeah, because we have a notification provider that's in China. So it pings the notification provider every once in a while to stay alive. And the notifications come from China, but no data goes through China except for those notifications. And it's just because that was a cheap service provider for the notification system. They said and that's only for Android. On iOS, Apple provides a notification system, so we don't have to ping China. Mm-hmm. It's just if you're using an Android app that we ping China.
Yeah, the creators of Wyze are really interesting. They've worked really hard to make an affordable product.
It's amazing.
They've worked with different suppliers, and like you said, and try to really cut down on the middleman. And I think this is maybe the next thing we're going to see in smart home technology, affordability.
It's very affordable. The first thing it did, by the way, when I went online, it immediately did a firmware update. I want to see that always in one of these devices because you want to keep them secure and you mm-hmm. want the company to be able to push firmware updates.
Right.
They did.
I think, affordability and security. Because I think this affordability's been out there. If you go to Amazon, you can buy all kinds of things.
Yeah, but you don't know who you're getting them from, right?
So, yeah, I think that...
I'm very encouraged by this. Mm-hmm. And you can probably thank Apple because of they've really turned China into a manufacturing center with amazing capabilities, very low costs, and a lot of the functionality, including the cameras, really were developed for smartphones, particularly for the iPhone originally, and now have trickled down to other areas. So I think you can kind of thank Apple for making, you know, creating a billion iPhones really did a lot to make this manufacturing capability possible.
Yeah, I'm going to get a few of these, I think, because the one that I tested was Anthony's, and he asked for it back. So
yeah, he still has it.
Yes.
The Wyze Cam company is in Kirkland, Washington, mm-hmm. so they're a U.S. company.
Near Microsoft.
And they're very responsive. Yeah, near Microsoft.
I wonder if someone's going to buy them.
Well, I don't know. I hope not. I'm really impressed by this. And as far as I can tell, by the way, here's the full screen shot that it's getting right now. So you can also, I should have showed this, go full screen and use your finger to pan, tilt, zoom. I think that's pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty darn cool. That is the Wyze Cam Pan. And look, so you can spot a cat and watch your kitty
cat. Is that a cat or a dog? No, it's not a cat. That's a dog.
I can't spot a cat, but it can. I can't
the
spot
Wyze
a dog.
Cam. It has better eyes than Leo.
And it's following him. Isn't that cool?
I don't know. I don't know if the dog really signed off for that.
The dog's privacy is being invaded.
Well,
see what it's doing right now? If I move enough, it's now that it's a static shot, but as soon as we move enough, it will go down here and think that there's somebody in the room. That is a little flaw. Don't leave the TV on if you use that.
Wait, yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
So it's not exactly an app. It is an app, but it's really a piece of hardware. But at $30, I have no hesitation. I bought three. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I bought three because that's just cool. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
You're like, I want to pay as much as I would for one camera, right. So I'll buy three.
They're so cheap, I'd buy five.
Ten.
Why not? It's a deal.
We have reached another end of our time together this week.
Oh, man. But it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I'll always remember it. I'll always remember this time where I say something and then you say it again.
Megan, this is the show where she says something and I say it again.
Megan at twit.tv if you want to be a part. Please send me your Memojis. Send me your Animojis if you don't have the beta.
Oh, but if you've got the beta, send us Memojis.
Send us Memojis.
They're fun.
Just save it and share it via email.
If that's actually would be a good way for people to ask their questions.
Yes, that's what I would like. Ask your question via Memoji. Or Animoji if you don't have the beta, but we prefer Memoji.
And come September when iOS 12 is out, that's all we'll accept.
That's all we're going to. We don't want to see your real face anymore.
It must be a Memoji.
It's going to be the future.
Yeah. We do this show every Monday about 9 a.m. Tuesday around 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern. That's 1600 UTC if you want to stop by and join us. We'd love seeing you. You can watch the stream. There's a variety of places. In fact, we have a new stream. Chatroom's been watching and says it's great. The Microsoft Mixer stream. Is it Mixer or Mix? Mixer? Mixer.com/twit. But you can also watch us at twit.tv/live, and we'll incorporate that into the Twit live stream as soon as we feel like it's stable and consistent. So anytime you go to twit.tv/live, you usually have three or four choices of places you can stream from, audio as well as video. You can also get on-demand versions of the show at twit.tv/iOS or subscribe in your favorite podcatcher.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get us every week the minute the show's available, audio or video, mixer.com/twit.
Come see us, too. Tickets at twit.tv to come be in our studio audience.
We'd love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's free. If you're in Northern California, we're in Petaluma. Tickets at twit.tv. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time.
On iOS Today.
Bye-bye.